Blog Talk Radio.
Show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Straightforward question. If you're a single heterosexual and 25 years of age or older, is being in a long-term monogamous and romantic relationship with a man important to you? Is it one of your top three priorities? Or is it something that is more or less an afterthought? I find in my experience that most of the women who will publicly say, "I don't need a man," are exactly the women who want a man in their life the most. Women who truly don't want nor need a man don't announce it. They just go about their lives by themselves. Why is it that so many women will front and pretend as though they don't need the romantic and or sexual companionship of a man, but the vast majority of these women know good and well deep down that they spend many hours per week thinking about finding Mr. Right? My guest for the evening just gets to the point. She tells her readers, if you want a man, they're all around you. The title of her popular paperback is Want a Man? Let's Talk. And within the book, she gives you all of her gems of wisdom on what you need to do differently and or better in order to get a man in your life. Who is this woman that will share her knowledge and wisdom with you tonight? Her name is Toria Wyrick, and Miss Wyrick is about to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in the race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn on, because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, September 25th, and all I have to say is, can someone just bail me out with about $700? I ain't talking about $700 million, $700 billion. Just bail me out with just $700. That's all I need to pay some of my bills. You know, I'm having a meltdown myself. Of course, I'm referring to all this Wall Street bailout stuff, $700 billion that's going to come out of our pockets. I'll get to more of that in a second. But I'm really excited about my show tonight, my guest tonight. And in addition, many of my guests that's coming up in the near future. This week is the last of my three in a row female guests. So, you know, I've been getting a lot of the female perspective on dating and relationships. But honestly, you know, being fair and objective, it's time to get back to the fellas. So starting next week, I'm going to be getting back to the fellas. Starting with a guy named Guy Blues. Guy Blues is going to start off giving us some knowledge and wisdom from the better perspective. I mean, the male perspective. That's right. The male perspective is coming back next week. Guy Blues, he's an interesting character. He's a very charismatic young man from California by way of England. And he's the author of a very lighthearted but still controversial book in his own way. It's called Marriage and How to Avoid It, The Truly Cynical Guide. The Truly Cynical Guide. He basically says in this book that if you choose to get married, 9 times out of 10, you're going to regret it at some point, particularly if you're a man. Now, a lot of it, again, is lighthearted, but I'm sure a lot of it also has serious undertones, so that should be a very, very interesting discussion. Then 2 weeks from now, I will have a very upfront, straightforward, lives up to the title of my show, upfront, straightforward, even hardcore author by the name of Dante Moore. Moore is, he writes under erotic novelist Zane. Everybody's familiar with Zane, who writes all the, you know, those hot, steamy erotic novels. She has her own label under the Simon & Schuster publishing label. And Dante Moore falls under her label. It's called Strubber Books. That's her label. And his book is raising eyebrows and dropping jaws, particularly among female readers. What he's telling women is that if you're single and you haven't found a man yet, it's your fault. Not the fact that men, there's no good men out there, or men all dolls, or none of that baloney. He's saying if a woman is single, it's her fault. He has a lot of strong opinions. He doesn't pull any punches. So we're going to have a no-holds-barred discussion a couple weeks from now. That's 2 weeks from tonight on October 3rd. October 9th will be his interview, and October 3rd will be Guy Blues. So I'm looking forward to both of those authors. Then in a few weeks, I don't have a specific date yet, but in a few weeks I'll have stand-up comedian and Essence columnist Finesse Mitchell. Finesse Mitchell will be on my show. He used to be on Saturday Night Live, and he's written a book, What Your Girlfriends, You Know, Won't Tell You. And so I'm sure that's going to be an interesting discussion. That should be in about maybe 4 to 6 weeks. Again, I don't have a specific date on that just yet. I'll keep you posted. But, yes, Finesse Mitchell will be on Upfront and Straightforward, and I look forward to talking to the fellas. The fellas. Can I get an amen from the fellas in the chat room? You know I got to give my chat room some love. Got Wendy K. Wendy K is in the chat room, as she always is. I appreciate her presence in the chat room. My boy Meadow Hayes from Canada, Montreal, Canada. My younger cuz, Christopher Curry, alias Hypestyle from Detroit, Michigan. And my dog Purpose One is in the chat room, along with about 4 or 5 guests. Meadow Hayes asks if Dante Moore. Dante Moore is a guy. He's a guy, not a gal. That's a guy. Hardcore guy. So, yes, definitely look forward to that. As always, I'd like to give my weekly kudos and shout-outs to those who deserve it. First off, many thanks to the co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, CEO Mr. Alan Levy, Chief Operating Officer Mr. Bob Cherish, the Blog Talk Radio executive staff, which includes but is not limited to Mr. John Sweet, Mr. Luke Armour, Ms. Hillary Lee Wong, my broham and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin Chicago, J.P. Jones, After Ball, Maplewood, New Jersey, Jeff Ken, Chicago, Maurice Taylor, Indianapolis, Irvin V. Pulliam III in Seattle, all of my fellow Blog Talk Radio Network family, Will Wavy, Kathy Holloway Hill, Tony Reeves, Andre and Ambra, Sound Off Now, and just Dangerous Lee, and many other quality hosts that I don't have time to mention just now. But whenever you come on to Blog Talk Radio site, click on Air Now any day, and it'll give you the lineup of the quality talk radio shows that are on for that particular day and at that particular time. So please do that. There's a lot of quality hosts on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, and I have respect for many of them. If I give kudos, of course, to all my listeners in various cities, Los Angeles, Chicago, Baltimore, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, Houston, Vegas, Naptown, Northwest Indiana is getting over that flood. The flood, man, was just something else, man. It was just, if you live in Northwest Indiana or near Northwest Indiana, you know what I'm talking about, man. This flood water, you would have thought we had a hurricane instead of Galveston, Texas, because I'm telling you, man, it was off the chain. A lot of schools were closed, buildings were closed. A lot of people have lost their homes or small businesses. And my heart just goes out to everyone who's having, you know, problems with the flooding, the basement being flooded, et cetera. Give a shout out to Ravy Rave in the chat room, Ravy Wave. Holistic Life Designs, the one who said I was yelling last week. She said I was yelling last week. Ain't that something? But am I talking more calm, cool, and collected now? But, yeah, so, the flooding. So, again, my sympathies to anybody in Northwest Indiana who's lost their house or had their house damaged by floodwaters. The big news, of course, is the bailout. Should we or shouldn't we? President Bush is getting advice on should we have a $700 billion bailout. It's kind of a rock and a hard place, you know. If we bail these companies out for making these mistakes, then, of course, it's going to come out of taxpayers' money. But it will supposedly prevent a recession. If we don't do the bailout, we might have a recession. So who knows? Anybody watch Dancing with the Stars? Man, what's up with Toni Braxton, man? Why does she look so nervous? I don't know if you're a fan of Dance with the Stars, but she looks incredibly nervous every time she falls into that group where, you know, they might get voted off. So, yeah, man, you know, that's my girl, but, man, she needs to learn how to relax. And what is up with Kim Kardashian? I haven't seen all the dances, but everybody's dogs there, they say she can't dance. Nice body, can't dance. Nice body, can't dance. Chris Rock, his HBO special will be this Saturday. I'm a big fan of Chris Rock. He was just interviewed on Larry King. If you're a fan of his, he's going to have a special this weekend called Kill the Messenger. Kill the Messenger on HBO. I don't know if everyone gets HBO, but he will be on HBO, Kill the Messenger. Also, one of my favorite shows premieres this weekend, Californication, with David Duchovny, used to be on The X-Files. It's a great show. I don't know if anybody in my chat room or anybody listening to the show caught it last year. But, yeah, Californication, it's on Showtime, one of the best shows on television. And finally, in the news, I heard there's a contestant on America's Next Top Model that's really a man, and he wants to get gender reassignment surgery? What is that all about, man? Is he or she looking for a woman, looking for a man? What is up with that? And speaking of looking for a man, let me get to the introduction of my guest for the evening. Born and raised in San Jose, California. She left to attend college at the University of Sacramento in California. Her book, One a Man, Left Talk, is designed to encourage women to push themselves to go out on several dates a week in order to improve their relationship skills so that they are ready when the right man comes along. She encourages and challenges women to discover who they are and what they want from men. Did you hear me? Who they are and what they want from men. Because a lot of women don't know what they want. At least they say they don't know what they want. But she encourages women to be ready, know who they are, what they want from men, and have the courage to pursue and communicate their desires. She's been featured in a number of media publications as well as on TV and radio. On behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and Blog Talk Radio, listeners, give it up for Miss Toria Warrick. Where's my applause at? That's what I'm talking about. Toria, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Now I got some love. I was just listening to you for a minute.
Because, yeah, you were sitting there like, hey, where's my applause at? Yeah, got to give my guests their applause. Welcome to Upfront and Straightforward. Glad to have you. And I'm going to ask you right off the bat, was there a particular event in your life or particular conversation, say, with male or female friends that prompted you to write this book, or is this just something you just always wanted to put your thoughts on paper about this subject?
Well, after being married for 16 years and I became single and I was meeting all these single women, all these single men, and I was running across way too many women that were having a difficult time meeting men, and they prompted me to want to write the book to help them out. Because there's a lot of men out there, and there's too many women not having enough fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, why do you feel that timing is so important in finding the right companion?
Why do I feel training?
No, timing. I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, timing. Because you have to be in the right space at any given time to meet the man for that moment. Now, I'm not saying your life partner is going to be the one that you meet at any given time. You never know. But it could be just some man who's going to help you through a certain time or help you to realize something about yourself, and timing is important. So you always have to be open for any possibilities with any given time with any man.
Mm-hmm. Now, listeners, if you, during the course of the conversation, if you have a question for my guest for the evening or a comment, you can call in at 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. If during the course of tonight, because I love it when I have questions and comments from my listeners for my guests. So, yes, please call in if you want to express a point or my guest says anything that provokes a question. Now, Toria, let me ask you this. What do you think women, not all women, of course, but do you think many women sometimes are too nitpicky when it comes to the attributes and characteristics that they desire in a man?
Not necessarily. A man is picky, too. They look for certain physical attributes. Mm-hmm. You guys are usually very visual. You need to see certain things that you need to see in the woman you're selecting. And vice versa. Women have a right to be picky as well. They also need to keep it real. You don't need to go beyond your reach, and you don't need to be too superficial. You have to have been working on yourself to get yourself in the right position to where you should be, so that you can meet the type of guys you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Now, similar question. Where would you say you draw the line between not settling, but at the same time being too ultra-selective?
That's a hard one, because in most relationships, what you might be looking for 1 year might change based on your circumstances. So what you might want this year might be what you want 2 years from now. So it's more of a matter of figuring out and being honest and truthful with yourself. And that's the reason in my book, Want a Man, Let's Talk, I give people exercises for them to do to stretch their box, to move outside of their normal range or what's comfortable and do things that are uncomfortable so that they're challenged when the arena comes, where different men come along. Because you might think a certain man, oh, no, I don't like him because of this. But if you would just ride out the wave, you might realize he's going to expose you to something that you might be interested in, or a form of that you might be interested in. So when it comes to actually settling down, you need to be very clear that you're ready. And when that happens, a woman knows when she's ready. And just like when a man's finally ready, he is ready and he knows it. He's actually kind of scary when they're ready, because they know what they want and they're going after it.
Yeah, I would generally agree with that. Now, okay, kind of again along the same lines, this is not all women, but I know I go to quite a few of these like relationship chats, and they have these forums where they allow brothers and sisters and men and women in general to vent. Why do you think so many women tend to say things like there are no good men out there when real life says otherwise?
Sometimes they're not being true to themselves. When they say there's no good men, sometimes their experiences have been they haven't met very many good men, and they're projecting, which isn't fair. They need to look within themselves, and we need to solve our own problems. Women need to look within themselves, figure out what they need, where their challenges are, where their obstacles are, so they can get themselves, work through their own issues, so when they see a man doing certain things, they're not projecting onto him and putting their issues onto him. So my women need to step up and be a little bit more accountable for really what they want, and they are in charge of what they want. They just have to be able to explain to a man what they're looking for, and he'll say yes or no. And if he says no, move on. There's other men out there.
Hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Give me your general definition of a woman with baggage and or issues.
A woman who says there's no good men out there has baggage.
Okay.
It's not even a fair statement. So if you have anything that thinks that there's no good men out there, all men, all they care about, you know, is what a woman's got and what she's going to do for them. Any little inkling where you're projecting onto someone else usually means you have some type of baggage, because you should be looking from within.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so far you haven't said anything that I disagree with.
Oh, I'm doing good.
Which is a good thing. And trust me, my chat room, if you say anything that they feel is invalid, They'll let me know, and so far, so good. So now, you know, I read a lot of the statistics that have been highlighted, and I'm sure you've read them too in different articles about the high number of single women. What do you think has changed in women's habits and behavior towards dating in the last 15, 20, 25 years to create this significantly higher percentage of single women, particularly women over 30 years of age or older?
Well, a lot of women have had more opportunities than what our mothers have had or our aunts have had. It used to be that a woman would leave her parents' house, get married, and move in with her husband and start a new life. More women now have decided they want to enjoy their life. They want to seek a career. They want to live life on a different level. They're not just looking for some man to come in and take care of them, which basically also would mean control them. So a lot more women aren't looking for that. So because of the fact that they're not looking, there are more women that are single. So by the time they are ready, there are some of the men that were eager to get married are already married. So now they have to work on the pool that's left of men that are also maybe career-driven, and are they ready now for a meaningful relationship?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that because I meet a lot of women. I have a lot of female friends and acquaintances who, some of the younger ones, they are willing to more or less sacrifice their love life for career and financial success. But a lot of the older ones, honestly, they seem to express that they regret it to a certain degree. Because now a lot of them are anywhere between 35 and 49, and they're like, wow, you know, as you just alluded to, is that, you know, they had opportunities to get married years back, and now those opportunities have gone. And they feel like, wow, you know, where am I at now? So, but yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, to those women, I would say it was timing. They weren't really ready for the commitment of a real relationship because they were still aspiring to do different things in their personal life, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think what they did was perfect for them because that's what they wanted, that's what they should have done. But with every decision, yeah, there's going to be some downsides to it. The downside is now they're older, and if they didn't have their kids, they're still thinking about whether, you know, they should have them now and looking for the man to have a relationship and, you know, eventually foster kids with.
Now, since I'm all about, you know, mode one behavior, which is upfront, straightforward. Uh-oh, chat room, I said mode one. You know what that means? That means, Tori, I got to indoctrinate you to my show. I have to hear you say, in your best rendition, say, mode one.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
From up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Yeah, that was good, Tori. Now, what I was going to say is that I'm all about the you know, being upfront and straightforward. But I meet a lot of women who actually, to one degree or another, I've heard women make comments like, I think one of the keys to nabbing a man is to, you know, be strategic with your games. Matter of fact, there was a woman, I forget the author's name, but you know this book, The Rules. Pretty much everything in that book called The Rules was all about manipulative head games, employing in manipulative head games in order to attract a man. Do you ever condone a woman engaging in manipulative head games to any degree in order to attract a man?
I'm not big on judgment. Women, do whatever you do, but be prepared for your own consequences. So if you want to play games, that's great. You can catch a man playing games. Believe me, I've caught a few playing games, but you have to keep the game up. So if you're not prepared to play the game for the next 20, 30 years, don't play the game to catch them. Because whatever you take to get them, you're going to have to be able to keep that up. And if you don't have the energy, don't play the game.
I heard that. That was more good feedback from Tori Wyrick. Again, listeners, if you want to call in and ask Tori a question or make a comment to her and myself, the number is 646-478-7884. 510-646-478-5710. Right now, I'm going to let Toria get a swig of water, and I am going to do the first break of the evening. But when I come back, we'll continue to talk about some of the knowledge and wisdom that she shares in her book that is designed to help women find a male companion. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man, Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/Dangerously.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist? Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/in the know from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/in the know. It's more than a show. It's an experience.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt's Baby Love.
Live in our countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Now live with me on the countdown hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our countdown studios, my friend Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the countdown hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my countdown hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Interview with relationship advisor and book author Toria Weirich on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I'm interviewing my guest for the evening. Her name is Toria Weirich, and she has a popular book out there called Want a Man, Let's Talk. She's based in Northern California, and her book is designed to empower women to make some necessary changes in their life that will improve their chances and opportunities for finding a male companion. Now, Toria, I was asking questions about women being, say, too picky and what they want, but, you know, pickiness all aside, how important is it simply for a woman to know exactly what she's looking for in a man before she meets Mr. Right?
I think it's crucial that you know what you're looking for, but you're not going to do that or know what you're looking for until you actually get out there and meet men, spend time with men, and find a way to enjoy men. And that's why in my book I give assignments. There's assignments for women to go out and do certain specific tasks so they can understand more about men and understand more things about themselves. Because in order to be picky, you got to first know what you want. And when you meet a guy, you're like, oh, I want a guy who's like this. I want a guy who has a maybe like even a professional athlete. Let's say you're looking for that. Well, I think I really want to date somebody who's a professional athlete or an ex-professional athlete. You date that person, then you find out that comes with its own set of baggage. You're going to deal with a man who's used to being in control, who wants to control you, wants to control things around him. So you need to realize, okay, do I want that with that? So until you really get out there and start dating it and going after the things that you want, do you really know what you're going to get? And that's why I encourage women, when they buy my book, to go through all the assignments, to really get an idea of what you want and see what you want in the flesh. And you can decide then, is that something I really want? Is that really important to me in a man? Or do I want a man who's going to treat me right, who loves me, who's got, you know, got my back?
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, like you happen to mention professional athletes. And I don't know how much opinion you can offer on this, because I know you can't speak for all women, but what I'm seeming to notice out in the dating scene many times, and a lot of guys I know agree with me on this, is that you have some guys over here, say, in a corner, reasonably handsome, reasonably intelligent, decent job, that don't have any women competing for their attention. Then you got Mr. Movie star over in this corner, Mr. Professional Athlete, and he has like 30, 40 women all competing for his attention. I mean, I know you kind of might say, well, women like know what they like, and if that happens to be in the form of professional athlete, so be it. But I would think some women would realize, okay, this guy got way too many women pursuing him. Let me go over to one of these guys that, you know, don't really have that much attention.
Correct. Well, some of that is because in your quest for the ultimate relationship, you're on different stages in your emotional relationship development. So someone who's out there chasing a guy who obviously has other women and have several women competing for him, she's still trying to understand who she is. So there's nothing wrong with what she's doing, because I am not a hater, but she's in her quest. She's trying to fill out her own power. She's trying to figure out what she can and cannot do. So at some point, she'll get tired of that. But in the meantime, do it, have fun, enjoy it.
Now, you know, there were, well, first of all, let's rewind a second. You mentioned your assignments. I know I don't want you to give away too much in your book, because listeners, I want you to buy the book. If you don't have it, buy the book. But give me at least one, if not two, examples of an assignment that you give to women.
One is I've gotten mostly from my different interviews and discussion with men. And one of them is for a woman to go up and ask three men to dance. That's one of my pet peeves with some of my girls out there. I ain't trying to hate, but if a guy asks you to dance and you don't want to dance with him, you don't have to act ugly. Just say, I don't want to dance. So I think if more women actually asked a man to dance, they would understand what he's going through, what he had to muster up to walk across the room to ask someone he thought was attractive to dance.
Amen to that. I am feeling you, Toria, on that. Oh, my goodness. I think it's so true, because men, you know, because of the way our society works, are generally always expected to be the initiators, the aggressors, and, you know, I think most men who are fairly egotistically secure get to a point where rejection does not faze them that much. But still, anytime you get rejected, whether it's just simply a dance or more profoundly get rejected for a relationship, it's going to have an effect on you. And I find that a lot of women who've never been the initiator, they can't really relate to that. And so that is such a valid point you just made. Now, the bottom paragraph of page 67 made me feel like you just stepped into the brain of a man for a second. Elaborate on women being able to easily find a casual sex lover.
You're going to have to repeat that question. I just got to page 67.
The paragraph where you essentially say that you think it is very easy for a woman to find a lover. Like, if she's basically looking for some guy to exchange orgasms with, that is not really a challenge for most women.
No, nor do I think it's that challenging for men. The only part that's challenging for men is they have a criteria of what they're looking for when they exchange theirs. If they really weren't so picky on that avenue, it's not that hard to have sex with people. It's a matter of what you're really looking for. And it can be detrimental for more women because we're wired different. So that's
Wait, before I let you go on, Tori, now I gotta kind of challenge you on this. I'm not going to necessarily say it's hard, per se, for a man to find a casual sex companion like it is for a woman, but a woman, an attractive woman, can pretty much just go in a club and go up to a number of guys and say, hey, you want a blowjob tonight? She's going to have about 15 guys holding a number to go home with her tonight. Whereas a man, with the exception, of course, of, say, a professional athlete or somebody who's, like, you know, real popular. But I'm talking for the average, just the averagely handsome guy, he can't go to a club and go to 50 women and say, hey, can I do your doggy style tonight? Even the women who...
Yeah.
Huh?
Just asking for doggy style is going to make it a little hard for him anyway.
Because even the women who are down for the doggy style, and I'm going to generalize here, a lot of women have been brought up to play the what I call the quote-unquote good girl role. I talk about that on a number of my episodes. So they feel like if they're too quick to reciprocate a man's desires, interests, and intentions for casual sex, that makes them look like, you know, easy or some kind of hoe or some kind of slut. So and because of those factors, that's why I would argue that I don't think it's as easy for the average man as it is for the average woman.
I would agree for the average man and the average woman. But if a man is in the club and he's looking for the right signs, you can tell which ones are more likely to than others. A group of five women is not a good candidate for any man to approach. You hear me okay?
Yeah, well, I'm getting this weird buzz. I don't know if you can hear it on your end.
Yeah, I can.
But, yeah, it's this weird buzz going on. And I might have to switch phones. I don't think it's a phone thing. I think it's more of a line thing. Hold on a second while I work with this. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah. Well, we still got that
okay.
Strange buzz.
Huh?
Still have a strange buzz going.
I don't know what
you know
that
why,
problem.
The line is.
Well, hopefully it's just going away because it just came out of nowhere. And I don't know where it came. And can you hear me now? Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, as I was saying about your last comment was about we were talking about the average guy being able to attract a casual sex partner versus the average woman being able to attract a casual sex partner.
I think it is different. It is easier for women. I will concede to that. But certain men can develop those skills too. Maybe that's another book, but it's not impossible, but if you're looking for it that night, that might be a little doing. But by a week or two, it's doable.
Trust me, I wrote the book Mode 1, so I know it's not impossible,
yeah.
So I don't want to go into that segue. But I was just saying, that was just a brief comment saying that I think it is definitely, if a woman is reasonably attractive, you know, not repulsively ugly or whatnot, I don't see how any woman can even suggest that she would have a challenging time if that's all she's looking for. Like, for example, a weekend fling or friends with benefits type relationship or just an indefinite casual relationship. And when I saw that on your page 67, I actually gave you a lot of kudos because I was like, wow, that's something, that's a comment a guy would write.
I think that's an indirect compliment. I'll take it. Because in order to really have good relationships, you have to understand men.
Yes. Now, is speaking of another section of your book, page 58. I'll let you, you know, grab that page real quick. This is something I've also talked about on a number of different shows, which is that I seem to be under the opinion, and different people feel me on this, is that I've always thought this way for men, but you essentially say this for women too. Why do you think so many of us, when we're in a relationship, almost tend to attract more attention from the opposite sex than when we're single?
I think it's more of a vibe you put off. You're already very secure. You're more confident. A confident man and a confident woman usually always do well in relationships. Because you're not looking for anyone. You already have someone. You're happy. And you have that attitude of confidence, secure. I think that's one reason you attract.
Okay, so you just kind of give out a more content vibe.
Right.
Yeah, because I forget what episode I had that, but I've talked about that actually probably with a couple of guests there. Because I know for men, I've experienced this, and most men I know have experienced this, that you have way more women throwing the poo nanny at you when you have a girlfriend than you ever do when you're just totally single and unattached.
Right.
And it just never ceases to amaze me. Now, in your best opinion and estimation, why do men and women process information they receive from communicating with each other so differently? I was just going to say also, along with that, which gender would you say is most guilty of hearing what they want to hear as opposed to what they actually heard?
Okay. We process things differently because we're genetically differently. Men are a little more simplified. They know what they want. They're simple about it. Women are very complex. What we want one day might not be what we want a week from now. Because it happens, we've changed, our moods have changed, different obstacles have come our way, and we've changed our thoughts. So women are definitely much more complicated, and guys are simpler. They're more goal-oriented. What do I do to get this, this, and this? Just tell me, I'll do it. Well, women are about the process. How did we get there? What was the weather like? What was the mood like? Was the candles? You know, what was he wearing? How did he smell? We know about the process. You guys are very goal-driven. So because of that, we think differently. But to answer your question about one of us, I would think women have a tendency to be more apt to know what they want. I mean, not necessarily know what they want time. Can you hear me?
We're having all kinds of connection. If you can bear with me for a couple minutes, I'm going to actually play an intermission, but
okay.
There's some kind of I don't know where this buzz is coming from. So hold on 1 second, listeners. Please bear with me. As you know, you should know by now, every now and then I get these technical difficulties. And so we'll just see. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man, Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Block Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/DangerousLee.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist? Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/InTheKnow from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/InTheKnow. It's more than a show. It's an experience.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt's Baby Love.
Live in our countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Now live with me on the countdown hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our countdown studios, my friend Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the countdown hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my countdown hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Interview with relationship advisor and book author Toria Weirich on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Asking you, I think we were talking about page 58 about women finding a lover. Do you think a lot of women have an adverse reaction to casual sex, or do you think the 21st century woman is more open-minded about casual sex?
It really just depends on where she's at in her relationship development. But to generalize, I would say there are a lot more older women, and I say over maybe generalize over 35 that are a lot more comfortable with it. They're comfortable with who they are, therefore they're comfortable knowing it is what it is and walking away from it, not tripping off of what happened or what didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We were talking I know what we were talking about. We were talking about communication. And I was asking you, in your best opinion and estimation, first I asked you, why do men and women process information they receive from their communication interaction with each other so differently? And a follow-up question was, which gender, if any, is more guilty of hearing what they want to hear as opposed to what they actually heard?
Well, first of all, we process differently. That's why we communicate differently. Men are very goal-oriented. What do I need to do? If I have to do 5 steps to get to the end of the goal, that's what I'm going to do, and that's how they communicate. Women, we're all about the process. That's why we like to shop. We want to look at everything, try things on, go to another store, look at it again. We're kind of just enjoying the process. We don't care so much about when we buy it and we get to go home. We're enjoying the day. And because of that basic foundation, it extends into our communication style. Men want to say as few words as they can to get the conversation over with so they can go on to whatever they want to do. With a woman, she's enjoying the whole process, so they have a tendency to be more wordy. But to answer your other question...
Ain't that an understatement?
Just a little wordy. Because we're enjoying... Sometimes it's just that we're enjoying the interaction with our man where he's actually listening to our every word, even though they want to be done as soon as possible. We're just enjoying the moment. And it's a beautiful thing if men would look at it that way. It's like, my baby's just happy sitting here with me, saying whatever she's saying and having me sitting here. They're just digging it. So that's one of the reasons we are who we are. But to answer your other question about which one, it just depends. People hear what they want to hear depending on what their agenda is. So I'm not really sure I can say anyone's more guilty, but because I'm a woman and based on the women that I know, I would have to say more women, only because they don't look for the warning signs. They're not looking for the red flags with certain men. If you say you're looking for a certain thing and he's not doing it or saying it, then that's not where he's at. Most men will let you know up front what they're about, and if they don't say it verbally, their actions show it. So if you just pay attention, you're going to know everything you need to know. And women have a tendency sometimes to ignore some of those signs because they thought he was the one, and some women are planning a wedding before they even met a man.
I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen a number of times. In your book, I also felt like this was you almost channeling a man's mind when you were critical of the you say specifically, you tell women, do not become a drama queen. What is Toria Weirich's definition? I know most of us have the same general definition, but it might have different nuances from person to person. What is your definition of a drama queen?
That's a hard one. Let me just share this. When I first became single and I was looking for female friends to hang out with, I experienced a lot of drama queens. I'm like, I couldn't even hang out with some of these women because they're too dramatic for me. And I would think, wow, how does a man meet these women? I'm like, whew, they were wearing me out. And I have a lot of patience. But if you're someone who's more apt to be overly emotional and easy to go off on a tangent, the wind blew, now she's, you know, on a whole nother page. Like, how did you get there so fast? So, it's hard to say. I don't want to hate on my girls.
Oh, I say go ahead and hate on them. I mean, it's one thing to hate on just women in general, but in marriage, in my feelings, drama queens need to be hated on because there's some women who just, it seems like they are not happy unless there's a lot of kind of emotional roller coaster drama going on in their relationship. They love to argue, they love to provoke arguments, etc. That's my general definition of a drama queen, is a woman who's almost more happy when there's adversity in her relationship than when there's peace and quiet in their relationship.
And women that need that. Based on where they are in their emotional relationship development, they need that.
And so you're saying they need to experience the drama queen phase so that they can overcome it in the future.
Right. Well, most people, it happened earlier in their lifetime, maybe elementary school. But some people are still working on those same lessons that they have not learned from junior high school or high school. And here they are, grown adults, still haven't processed that same information for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I would agree, from a man's point of view, stay clear of the drama queen.
Now, we were talking about earlier about rejecting, and you tell women to approach men and ask them to dance so that they can experience how it feels to potentially be rejected. Let me ask you this. When a woman's doing the rejecting, do you think it's exceptionally challenging for many women to reject men straightforwardly? Because one of the complaints I hear from men is that instead of a woman rejecting them, they would just simply not respond to their phone calls or not respond to their email messages, instead of simply saying, hey, Brian or Randy, whatever, I'm not interested, I don't feel any romantic or sexual chemistry.
Well, some people really do care about other people's feelings. So sometimes it's an easier way just to not have to say it. You're just like, well, maybe, you know, he'll do the 3 phone calls with no reply and go away. And, yeah, it's a chicken's approach, but it's effective. And I'm not, and I can understand why women use that, just like why men use it sometimes. They just don't want to hurt their feelings.
But in their attempt to avoid hurting a man's feelings, they end up causing him anger and frustration in the long run. Because I'll tell you this as a man, in my based on my conversation with men, no man likes to be just, quote-unquote, left hanging. I find that the vast majority of men, there might be a few exceptions, but the vast majority of men, they would actually rather be straightforwardly rejected because, yeah, it might sting at that moment for that day, that weekend, but in the long run, they can get over it quicker. Whereas when a woman just doesn't respond to a man's phone calls or email messages, and a lot of women say, oh, well, they should get the hint. Well, I feel like we should be more mature than the drop hints. We need to communicate up front and straightforwardly. And matter of fact, I'm going to do my Mode 1 channel on that again.
Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Yeah, but, I think people's winning. Anyway, that's kind of my soapbox for the night. But, yeah, I think both men and women, and not just limited to women, I think men and women should communicate straightforwardly. Before I ask you another question, listeners, again, I apologize for the technical difficulties that we experienced earlier, but right now, if you have a question or comment for my guest for the evening, you can call in to 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. Speaking of that, it looks like I have a call on the line, but I don't see an area code. State your name. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Tori Wyrick. What's your question or comment?
Hello, Roger. This is Ravy Rave.
Ravy Rave. How are you this evening?
I am under the weather, but I came to support your show.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear you under the weather, but I appreciate you calling in. What question do you have for my guest and or what comment do you have for us?
Well, I wanted to know about the author. Is she married, and if she's married, how long has she been in a successful marriage?
I was married for 16 years, and now I'm single.
You're single now. Because I know that when I came in earlier in the beginning of the show, I was listening to Roger. As a 40-year-old woman who's a business owner, and no kids, and single, I respectfully disagree with what your statement was, Roger. I think that, you know, at the age of 40, I'm not the same type of woman in the same type of mindset as I did in my 20s. In my 20s, I was looking for acceptance from my mate. Now in my 40s, I'm looking and I know what wants in a mate. You know, I don't think that I need to drop it like it's hot or do it style in order for me to attract that mate. I want to know what's in his head before we get into the bed.
No, wait, I'm not clear on what statement of mine are you disagreeing with?
The fact that you're saying that women of today are more open and more free about, you know, giving doggy style 2 minutes after meeting in a club. I mean, I don't think that being in a club and meeting someone in a club is a good foundation for a good relationship to begin with. But I definitely cannot see myself as a woman, and I'm a modern woman. I believe in equal work, equal pay. I believe in women's rights, but there are just certain things that I'm just not for. I'm not dropping it like it's hot because my loins are attracted to you for the first 10 minutes that I've met you.
I don't mean to cut you off, but quickly to clarify, I actually didn't say that. Verbatim. I, matter of fact, I didn't even make a statement. I asked a question to Toria. I asked her, does she feel like women are more open to casual sex? And I gave examples, one-night stands, weekend flings, friends with benefit relationships, et cetera, or just a long-term indefinite casual relationship. I was asking her, did she feel women were open? Now, if you're asking me directly, I do feel like a lot of women, not all women, of course, but a lot of women today versus, say, 15 years ago, are more down for casual sex. And
you why? Because they feel that if they can drop it like it's hot, and if they sit and listen to guys, sit and say what they like, they feel that if they can sit and prove that they're throwing flames out of their hoo-ah, that man is going to pick them and choose them and try to turn that relationship from a casual relationship into a traditional relationship. There are a lot of women out there that are using sex to try to get that traditional type relationship that they want. Does the author agree or disagree with me on that?
I don't necessarily agree that most women are trying to think that if they drop it like it's hot, or I like to blow flames out of their culotte, that was cute, are going to be able to then turn it into a permanent relationship. But I think the women that I've met, the ones I've interviewed, are more interested in having some type of physical relationship throughout their year, and they're willing to have casual sex occasionally. They are still looking for a meaningful relationship. But in the meantime, sometimes they do want to just enjoy themselves.
Well, would you disagree with the fact that women give love to get give sex to get love, and men give sex give love to get sex?
I would agree with that. A lot of women are hurting from things that have happened in their past, and that's just how they operate. They think that if I give sex, then like you said, the acceptance part. Yeah, now I'm accepted on some level, and he finds me attractive, and that's enough for them for that moment. It won't sustain them, but they're satisfied for the moment.
Well, thank you, Ray, for calling in. I got a couple more callers I'm going to take in a second. Now, speaking of that, you mentioned factors from the woman's past. In your experience and observation, Toria, what are some factors from a woman's past, say from her teenage years or early to mid-20s, that have a high potential to come back to haunt her or negatively affect her behavior in her 30s or 40s?
Not necessarily negative in the 30s or 40s, but just things from her childhood that she hasn't worked through. Some women did not have a strong role model, a male role model. So they're used to chasing for the affection of men, and they'll take it any way they get it. And then if you throw into that equation if she was molested, it's 1 in 3 that are molested, and depending on how she processed that negative attention that she received through her molestation, it can extend into her adulthood and her sexual relationships in the future.
Okay, now, how does a woman, say, who's had a lot of bad relationships with men and got treated badly, was verbally, emotionally, physically abused, how does a woman move past her high degree of bitterness to have a satisfying, meaningful relationship in the future?
Sometimes it requires professional help, but the underlying spiritual side, forgiveness, you have to accept what you did, what role you played, no matter how small it is, and you also have to be able to forgive the other individuals and move on with your life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I'm going to take another caller. This caller is from area code 901. Area code now. Oh, okay. Yeah, 901. You're now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Toria Ryrick. What's your question or comment?
Well, thanks for taking my call. And hi, hello to your guest, Tora.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? I'm in the room here. I'm black conservative now, just sitting here listening. I have a question for the author of the book. I have a question for you. I see the title, Want a Man, Let's Talk. My question is, what kind of man? You know, there's different kind of men out there.
Correct. And that's why the book, Want a Man, Let's Talk, is more about the let's talk. It's about why do you want a man, what do you want from a man, and what type of man do you want at any given time in your life.
You know, I think success, and I deal with a lot of being in senior management myself. I deal with a lot of professional black women all the time. And I try to recommend or suggest that why won't black women try conservative type men like myself, black Republican men like myself? Most of us are successful, you know, we're successful, we don't fear the prisons, we don't care about
our neighbors. Wait, let me ask you, you're saying that, generally speaking, that black brothers who are black Republicans have a harder time attracting women?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I think that professional black women are wasting their time, their resources, and their energy on black liberal Democrat men who really doesn't serve their best interest.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Did you really say that?
Yeah, I think they're better off flipping the script, either dating black Republican conservative men who are wealthy like myself, who have something to offer, and perhaps date white men or out of the race. That would be, I would definitely recommend that. But I have seen, I'm telling you from personal experience and observation, I talk to professional black women all the time. I'm talking to one now. Here's what happened. They get hooked up with these good for nothing kind of brothers. And
wait. Hold on a second, brother. So you're stereotyping Democrats by saying they're no good men. Is that what you're saying?
Before you invade my argument, because I know what I'm talking about. I'm 98.5% right most of the time, if not all the time. Here's what I'm trying to say. I have seen the reality of this, and history bears me out on it. They get emotionally tied up, sexually, mentally, physically, with these good-for-nothing brothers. And within a year or two, they bring these women down to the lowest compound. They terrorize their lives. They drain their resources. They wreck their credit. And these women become the most
correct. Who are you speaking of? Who are you speaking of when you say that?
These black liberal Democrat black men that these professional black women are wasting their time with. They're not going to change. I don't know why you all are banking your destiny on their potential. You know, if your man, if you say, well, my man, you know, he looks good, he has potential. But you know what potential means? When you go and tell mom or your girlfriend that, oh, my man has potential.
Okay, you're starting to go into a soliloquy. What's your specific brief question for the author?
Potential means he ain't doing nothing now. My question is, why won't you, when you revise your book, put there, want a conservative black man? Let's talk. When you
I think every woman has the right to pick what kind of man she wants. And if she's looking for a conservative Republican, it sounds like you fit the bill and you'd be available. But every woman needs to date whatever she wants based on whatever she needs at that given time.
Well, I just have to say for the record, I don't know your real name. You might have stated it, black conservative. Dude, that was the most ultra-ridiculous stereotype ever conveyed on an episode of Upfront and Straightforward since I've been doing this show. Okay, moving on to area code 832. You're now Upfront and Straightforward. Now, Alex Curry and my guest, Tori Wyrick. What's your question or comment?
Yes, Alan Michael Curry. My name is Dave Jones with the Dave Jones Radio Show. Mm-hmm. And yes, sir. And my question and comment, well, first of all, I'd like to say good evening, Tori.
Thank you.
Tori.
Yes. I am a single male, okay? And I am looking for an African-American woman with specifics, okay? She has to have either long hair and or stilettos. My question is, in your book or your findings, do you think that men are more attractive to women with longer hair or women that wear stilettos versus women that don't wear longer hair or don't wear stilettos?
Men are attracted to all types of women, but historically, yes, most men are attracted to things that are different from themselves. Most men don't usually have long hair, therefore they're attracted to women because they think of that as an attribute that women have. But if you're looking for a woman with long hair and stilettos, she's out there.
You find it. Yes, because that's my preference.
Right, and you
were that.
But I'm not understanding. What is your question? I'm not getting it. I'm sorry if I'm missing it.
Okay, again, my question to her is, I guess you answered it, but what do you think about African-American men? Do you think that they are more attracted to women, African American women, with longer hair and stilettos, than women that don't wear stilettos or women that don't wear their hair longer?
Oh, that's personal preference territory. I mean, all men, just like all women, have their preferences though. I welcome all the questions on my show, so I don't want to sound like I'm being too harsh, but that's a question that I don't know if Tori is an expert on answering. That's just a personal preference thing. From my interaction with men, I can't say that most men, particularly most black men, prefer women who wear their long hair, whether it's natural, weaved, and stilettos. Although I will say about stilettos are sexy. You know, in the right outfit. But we're going to take area code 718-718. You're now Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, book author, Tori Wyrick, the author of the book, Want a Man, Let's Talk. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Tori. How are you tonight? Hi, Alan. How are you?
How
are
you doing?
My comment is, first I got to make a comment to the two gentlemen that just got off the phone, because the first one was ridiculous, but to assume that all Democrats are men are in jail, because I guarantee you after this debacle we're in right now, most of the Republicans will be in there getting it, you know, rear-ended because of what they did. But anyway, as far as Dave and these stilettos, Dave, let the high heels go, okay? The long hair, what, look, I have naturally long hair, and I cut my hair, I keep it to a certain length. I just cut off like 3 inches. What if I was to come in, if me and you were together, I came in one day and I decided I'm going to cut all my hair off, I'm going to spike it. That means you ain't going to love me that much more. What Tori is trying to say, everybody has their preference, yes. Everyone picks a certain person to be with, but are we allowing those preferences to allow to mess us up to the point that we're not able to get the relationships we want? I'm pretty sure that's what she's trying to allude to. Am I right, Ms. Warwick?
Yes. Everybody has their own preference, and I'm sure he will find her one day. It's easy. You can buy hair if you don't have it, and shoes are easy to buy.
Exactly. Because it depends. I think it depends on the individual. Me, myself, I have to have a mental connection to the person that I'm with, more so than a sexual one. If I'm able to feel free to talk to a person and we could communicate on a nice level, we have fun communicating together, then that's what is attractive to me. Not to say that everybody feels that way. And most men
okay,
don't.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to challenge you here. I hear a lot of women say, oh, well, you know, there's so many things that are more important than sex, you know, like good conversation, great communication. But my question would be, and both to you and to Toria, what's the number one thing that separates a great male platonic friend from somebody you would date?
For me, it's how does he treat me.
You said what?
For me, it's how does he treat me. Does he treat me the way I expect to be treated, yeah.
So wait a minute. So you're almost implying that you tend to want to date all the guys who treat you well, just be platonic friends with the guys who don't treat you so well.
Well, I think you said what's the number one thing that I look for between the two of them. It's like, how do they treat me?
I mean, I'm saying
I'm
if you
saying
were... if you
not important. Is that what you're getting to? No, sex is important, too.
Well, I'm being kind of lighter about this, but also kind of serious, because a lot of women, I find, I'm generalizing here a little bit, they can almost have this attitude that, oh, all you men think about is sex, and for most women, you know, it's not about the sex, and sex is not that important. And I'm calling BS, man. I'm not saying that sex is the only important factor, particularly if it's a long-term, you know, romantic, monogamous relationship. But I'm saying you can't just easily dismiss the importance of sexual chemistry either.
I wouldn't dismiss it either.
And so my caller was saying that, you know, the mental connection was, I don't know if you said more important, but it sounded like you were implying it's more important than the sexual connection. I'm asking you, how important is sex to you in a relationship, I guess is my direct question.
Oh, well, sex is very important to me. I mean, most of the people on Blog Talk know I had a show called Sex After Dark, so... You know, sex is nothing that I rule out and say, oh, I'm being prudish and I don't want to deal with sex and I just want a man for conversation purposes. No, I want him for the bedroom action. I want the whole package. But the thing is that I have to feel some kind of connection to you more so to let myself be involved in a deeper level with you, not just casual. To get into a deep relationship, I have to have a little bit more than just the sex act. Because anybody
so, in other words, you're saying that the mental connection is more or less a prerequisite for that great sexual chemistry.
Well, it's a prerequisite, not for the great sexual, because I can have casual sex with somebody and it could be great. I mean, knock my back out and everything. But the thing of the
matter is, tell us how you really feel.
Huh?
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, you know I ain't going to bite my tongue out. You know me enough by now.
This is a PG-13 Disney Channel watching show. You can't use any provocative terms like knock your back out, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But anyway, like I said, no, you can have casual sex with somebody, and the sex could be terrific. It could be the best sex you ever had. It's just the way that person jives with their body jives with yours and what, you know, you feel with that person at that moment. But what I'm saying, as far as a long-term relationship and to really get to a woman, I can only speak for myself. I was married, so, you know, the sex thing is one thing, and my mind is in a different set now than I was when I was in my 20s when I got married. But the thing about the relationship aspect is that I feel that it's more important for me now to make more of a connection with that person, because sex, I'm up in age, and the person that I might deal with might be up in age too, and sex might start dwindling. So is that relationship going to be based on because we're getting it on in the bedroom the right way, and then we have nothing else afterwards? So that's why I say for me it is not more so, but it plays a big part that I have to have open communication. I have to enjoy that person's company. I have to feel free around that person, and I would want them to feel the same around me, so that both of us, when we're together and we're making love, that love relationship is that much stronger. It won't be felt like just a casual sexual relationship.
Wow, that was a lot to get off your chest, huh?
Well, you could have stopped me at any time, but...
What she said?
I agree with her, and I think it can heighten the sexual experience when you have the chemistry as well as a respect for each other's conversation. You know, if you enjoy talking and connecting with that person, that's only going to heighten all the other things in that relationship.
Now look, thank you so much for calling in. Tori, let me ask you, since somebody asked you, were you married? You say you were married and you're divorced, now you're single. Now, I don't want to be too personal, but are you single as in simply unmarried, or you're single and unattached?
I'm attached, but I'm still single.
Okay. Before you were currently attached, my question was, did you find yourself, I'm assuming this is one of the reasons you wrote this book, did you find yourself being able to get male companionship pretty much anytime you wanted to?
When I was emotionally ready, yes. There were times where I was just in, you know, going through a relationship, taking the time to mourn the relationship. Where I don't know if I wasn't paying attention, so I'll just put it that way. I don't know if it was available or not. I wasn't interested, didn't want to pursue it.
Hey, Tori, I got a request from the chat room, even though you already did it, but I'm going to ask you for at least one encore. Somebody wants to hear you say, no one.
No one.
Yeah, my chat room loves it when my guests say, no one. No one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Well, folks, we only got about 20 minutes left. Get your calls in. If you have a call for Miss Wyrick, call in to 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. We are coming down to roughly our last 20 minutes. I'm going to run a quick intermission, and then I will be right back with more questions for my guest this evening, Ms. Toria Wyrick.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man, Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerous Lee Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/Dangerously.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist? Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/InTheKnow from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/InTheKnow. It's more than a show. It's an experience.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt's Baby Love.
Live in our countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Now live with me, on the Countdown Hotline. It's Justin Timberlake live with me in our Countdown studios, my friend Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the Countdown Hotline live, Eric Benet, as promised, my friend Kirk Franklin, as promised, Natalie Cole, as promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds, as promised, John Legend, as promised, live on my Countdown Hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old, the old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The Countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Interview with relationship advisor and book author Toria Weirich on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Questions and then let you tell everybody what your website is. You mentioned in your book that you want women to kind of think of your book as a men 101 class. Without giving away too much from your book, what is kind of the general structure of your men 101 philosophy?
Well, it gives women an opportunity to start an adventure. An adventure enjoying men, enjoying themselves, and learning. So if they read the book or when they read the book, it's going to take them through different steps to kind of get them prepared. We're going to do a plan, and then we're going to let a chance for them to do some assignments and start to really enjoy themselves with men and learn more about men.
Uh-huh. Okay. For many women, is it much harder for a woman with, say, two or more kids from a previous relationship to find a good man than it is for a woman with no children, or does it just simply vary from woman to woman, and then children are a non-factor?
Kids are always a factor because they're a big part of a woman's life. If she's taken the goal and the initiative to decide to raise her kids without a man in their life, then that's usually their focus. And anything that they do outside is a supplement. And, you know, it can still be a beautiful thing, but it still has to have a balance to it. So it is harder. It's not hard necessarily to find the man. It's harder to have the time, the energy, and sometimes even the passion to be interested in trying to find some long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. But it's doable.
Oh, I know a question that we got cut off at this point. It's kind of a lighthearted question, but in your book, you said that most men, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was to the fact that you said most men would be willing to help a woman with her household chores. Do you really believe that?
Yeah, if you present it the right way, you let them know what's in it for him, yeah. Sometimes you have to break it down to what they're going to get from. You know, man, sometimes you say, baby, you're going to get this, this, and this tonight if you do this. Most of them be like, you know what, that's a fair trade. All right, sometimes it's a business. You got to negotiate.
Oh, that's funny. That's good.
Is that true?
Good stuff.
Is it true?
Yeah, I do. Well, I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah, you're going to get this, and this tonight? And more women need to negotiate more often.
She got to throw in the whipped cream and the chocolate.
You know, throw in what you got to throw in. Put your long hair on and your stilettos, or however they call it. Make that part of the deal.
Okay.
I'll get my weave on, baby. I'll get my wig, my Cher wig, and my stilettos on. And I need you to take in the garage.
Toria, it has truly been a pleasure, and I want to give you the opportunity to tell our listeners exactly what your website is, if you're working on any other books, got any events or public speaking engagements coming up, anything you want to plug right now.
Okay, well, ladies, I'd like to just invite you to buy the book, Want a Man, Let's Talk. It'll definitely change your life, give you a lot of new ideas and some encouragement in your relationships with men, whether you're married or single. And at this time, you know, I have some previous or upcoming interviews, but they're not actually scheduled with dates and times. So I am working on another book, which will be Dating Let's Talk. And it's just probably still about 8 months to a year out. They're still doing a lot more research on it. But I would like to mention something from my book on page 9. The phrase, it just speaks to my heart, and I want to share it with some other women out there, that love is love. Love does not give you the power to change someone who does not want to be changed. So you can love who you want, but it doesn't mean you can never change them. You can change things.
Okay.
I had a great time. I'm so glad I had this opportunity to be on your show. I mean, I agree with this title, upfront, straightforward. That's kind of how I try to keep it, too.
Yeah, and again, I apologize for all these unexpected technical difficulties. Next time I have you on the show, I'm going to make sure that I don't experience any of this. But, did you tell people what your website was?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for that. It's www.wantamanletstalk, just like the title of the book.
Oh, www.wantamanletstalk. That's one word.
Yep, .com.
Okay, now you know the Lovologist, he's a fellow host on this network, and he comes and listens to a lot of shows. He's requesting that we get one last Mo one from you. Can I get one last Mo one?
Mo one.
Mo one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo one.
Get up front and straightforward.
Mo one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Is our show for tonight. Thank you, listeners, for joining me. I appreciate it. Join me next week, Guy Blues. Guy Blues will be my guest. He's very cynical about the idea of marriage. His book is called Marriage and How to Avoid It. I will see you next week. Take care.
Now I want a pound of food thing until it stinks. You can could be my mama and I'll be your boy.
Original rude boy, never am I coy. You could be a shorty in my ill convoy. Not to come across as a thug or a hood. But hun, you got the good, like Madeline Wood. By the way, my name's Malik, the 5 foot freak. They say we get together by the end of the week. She simply said no, label me a hoe. I said, how you figure? My friends tell me so. I hate when silly groupies wanna run the yap. Word to God, hun, I don't get down like that.
I'll have you weak in the knees that you can hardly speak. Or we could do like Uncle Ella swinging F in my Jeep. Keep it on the down, yo, we keep it discreet. See, I'm not the type of kid to have my biz in the street.
If my mom don't approve, then I'll just be low. Let me take the little man from inside the boat. Let me hit it from the back, girl, I won't catch a hernia. Bust off on your couch, now you got demon furniture.
Shy-E, Vice, and the extra P. Stacy Beagle, PJ, and my man LG. They know the abstract is really so on ice. The character is a man, never ever a mic. Shorty, let me tell you about my only vice. It has to do with lots of loving, and it ain't nothing nice. It ain't nothing nice.
Relax yourself, girl, keep set to air. Relax yourself, girl, keep set to air. Relax yourself, girl, keep set to air.